station promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for the best morning show on the internet. It's time for Sam in the Morning with Brigetta, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday. Today is
12-12-12. Yeah.
And you know, this is the last time it's ever going to happen because there's no 13 months in the year.
Yeah.
So this is the last time, and that would be pretty cool actually to maybe take a picture of your clock at 12:12 today.
You can do that. I don't really care. I did have someone text me at 12:12 a.m. last night. Watch, I was sleeping, so I didn't get it till like 3 when I woke up. But I was like, oh, that's funny.
Okay.
Anyway. But today is supposed to be, for whatever reasons, a very powerful day, whether in the planetary, you know, whether planets are lined up, and because of the date, whatever. Mm. And because, mainly, though, because it's a new moon tomorrow. Mm. So you're supposed to put all your manifestations and put them in your brain, basically, and meditate on what you want.
Cool.
Yeah,
well,
it's supposed to be powerful.
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's positive, that's fine with me, you know.
Well,
don't talk to me about Mayan apocalypse and shit, you know. I mean, they're just saying that NASA is, like, you know, releasing all this information that all of this is one big bullshit, you know. And they're saying especially that the Mayans didn't really predict all the things that people are saying.
I don't really care.
But
this is
at
why
any
I'm
rate,
not watching the news, because people are having mass panic attacks. I kind of think it's funny, personally.
It is funny. I mean,
it's
people are crazy, you know. You know how many millennia people have been predicting the end of the world, you know?
Like, Y2K.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like people want misery.
Something.
Like, why do you want to... You know what? If we're going to go down, then let it happen, but I'm just going to live my life as it is. It's
yeah,
fine.
Exactly.
You know?
I mean, who's the... And these things just don't happen,
no.
You know? I mean, the world's going to be here for a while. And if you want to believe to some Mayan myths that I think...
But that's
again,
not
you know,
even what they said.
Yeah, exactly.
They said the end of the world as we know it ends. Mm-hmm. And I'm already seeing that. That's true. It's like it's supposed to be a whole new spiritual realm. You've already noticed. You've noticed, I'm sure. More and more people are starting to develop gifts and be more aware of what's going on, and that's basically what it is. It's a new higher consciousness.
Mm, okay. Well, I welcome that.
Yeah.
So in a few minutes, we're going to have a guest who is an actor, and he also happens to be the son of... Do you remember Happy Days?
Yes.
The mother, Marion Ross?
No.
The mother? Richie Cunningham's mother?
Oh, yeah, kind of.
Marion.
I don't really remember
okay.
her. I don't know. I used to stare at him all the time.
Yeah.
I never really stared at the chicks.
Well, she was the mother, and I guess our guest is her son. So,
cool.
So that'd be cool. And he does some things in Hollywood. He's going to tell us all about it. So that sounds pretty cool.
Cool.
Also, congratulations to George W. Bush. I guess his daughter is pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
She's 31 years old. Jenna Bush, I guess. And... she's actually not bad looking, you know?
Yeah.
Have you seen his daughters before?
I don't remember. I don't really pay attention to these things. These are things that have nothing to do with me, so I just don't care.
Yeah. The funny thing is many people said that he himself is handsome. Do you think so?
I think he's an okay
George
guy.
Bush, yeah?
I mean, you know, not really my type. He's, you know. But, I mean, he probably was good looking when he was younger.
Right, yeah.
He got kind of Dumbo-y ears.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's not bad looking.
I know. It's just that his mind kind of turns me off to him totally.
Oh,
you know,
whatever.
I don't know. I wasn't happy with him at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so congratulations to Jenna Bush and just bringing in more kids into this world. We don't have enough.
You're such an ass.
So how you doing? You still working on your house there?
Oh my God. Yeah, but yeah. At least it was the humidity last time because I laid the finer layer on my floor and that's only been like 8 hours and it was dry.
Oh yeah. So, it was the weather.
Yeah, I laid the gloss on it and it wasn't that dry. I mean, it was dry this AM, but there were like two sticky patches. But I was like, at this point, I'm so irritated that I said, fuck it. And I walked all over it. I don't care. I just don't care. I'm tired of having my furniture in the main room. It's right. So annoying. And anyway, so I went through this thing yesterday. This was so weird. Out of the blue, I'm like, I'm getting rid of everything. So I went into my bathroom and just started, I dumped out two bags, trash bags, full of like lotions and like things that, why do I have that?
Yeah,
I
don't you don't even this. Use them, huh?
No, but I will say that my birthday, my party on Friday, I have a Christmas tree that is called the Giving Tree. And I'm giving away a lot of things. Yes, okay, yes, there's condoms and like a vibrating thing, whatever. Because, you know, I traveled around with Extends for a while and I used to go to these convenience store conferences because this is before when we were trying to get into Walmart and 7-Eleven, which we wound up signing the deal for 7-Eleven at this particular event that I was at. And I will say that I was there to help with the deal.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Yes. Anyway, so being at these events, like Playboy was next to us, and then they have like the vibrating, the O-rings, and like all kinds of. I mean, it's not a sexual convention. It's anything in a convenience store that you would find, like from Starbucks drinks to Monster to, you know, some kind of food to, you know, vibrating rings and like weird stuff you drink that magically will make you give you an erection during the night or whatever, you know, the things at the counters.
Right.
It's there.
Yeah.
So because we're there, you get to go around and get all this free stuff. Well, I used to get bags and bags of stuff like people would bring me and you get gift bags and whatever. So they've been in my drawer for a minute and I'm like, what am I? I don't need all this stuff. And then I went to that pleasure chest thing like not too long ago. And there's this stuff that masks when you go down on a guy and masks the flavor.
Oh, really?
So, which I haven't tried it, but I stole so many of them. Not stole, given, whatever, took. So many of these
help
sample.
Yourself too.
Whatever. Yeah. Sample, yeah, help myself too. Sample packets that I was like, this will be funny to give away. So those are all on my tree. And then I got rid of a chest of drawers yesterday. I was so excited. Like, it's been there forever. And I'm like, why do I need this? I don't need this. So I dumped it all out, and I found, and I have really long eyelashes. Mine are natural. Well, people give me all these eyelash kits, you know, when you go to like these award shows, and apparently they're worth like a ton of money.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. If I tried them one time on a photo shoot, and I look like a clown.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I was like, what? First of all, I can't see out of my eye. I don't like glue on my face. Like, I'm like freaking out, like, get it off. And and it just looks retarded on me. It doesn't make sense. Like, I have lashes.
I don't think it looks good on many people unless you put it on right, you know?
I guess.
But many women, they just look disgusting with it, you know?
I like playing with makeup, like, when I'm going out because it's fun. Like, it's like art to me in a way. But honestly, like, I don't really wear it on a day-to-day basis. And I will never, ever wear lashes, like, gluing things to my face unless it's some weird, like, funky thing that I'm doing for Halloween. It's not happening. Yeah. You're not sticking glue to my face.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Especially your eyelid. Wow.
Yeah, it's just weird. But girls do it all the time. Like, girls always, they do it. Some girls wear it every day. I don't get it. Anyway. Yeah. Regardless, I found like 20 kits that I had, like individual like kits. Mm. So they're under the Giving Tree. So
and they're probably pretty pricey, right?
They're really expensive, yeah. Really? But I get them through like, you know, gifting suites or when I go on a photo shoot, they give you like boxes of it. And I'm like, I don't need it, whatever. So just take them.
Yeah.
Sure, I'll give it to somebody. I don't know. Well, they've been in this I'll give it to somebody drawer. Like, I don't know why I do this, but I have all this stuff. And I'm like, I don't need it. So I'm putting it all under the tree. And when you come to my house on Friday, those that are invited... If you're not invited, you're not coming, and don't ask. I don't want any weird, creepy things on Facebook, because I would get that.
Yeah.
I don't need any creepers in the closet peeing.
Yeah, enough of that.
Oh, that was a funny story. But anyway, you will get gifts, like, of all kinds of sorts. So they're going under my tree.
So that's cool, a giving tree. That's
original. A giving tree. Yeah. I don't know, I just came up with it. Like, you remember at my Valentine's Day party? Actually, I just found these. It's really funny. I'm leaving them by the tree so people can read them. For those of you who have not been to my Valentine's Day parties, I throw anti-Valentine's Day parties. Because it's funny. And you can come with, like, your significant other. That's totally fine. But I make everybody write why Cupid should be killed, shot, or done in certain ways. And the most creative sexual, like, something. Like, be funny, be hilarious. And they're on these little heart cutouts. And you write on one, on both sides. Mm-hmm. And then you sign your name. And at the end, the weirdest thing and the most funniest gets a prize. Yeah. So, do you remember doing this?
No, I don't. That was not that party. The one I came to was with the... The murder mystery game.
Right. I know. I like throwing weird theme parties. I just like doing different things.
Yeah, it's fun.
I know. Parties are like, you know, I like my parties to be different always and to stand out. So last year's party really did stand out with the pisser in the closet and my car being stolen. But we won't have that happen again. But anyway, so I found the Valentine's Day things when I was like cleaning everything up, and I'm like, they're so funny, like what people wrote, because there's like 50 of them, like
really?
People in the party that just wrote, you know, everyone plays the game, which is great.
Right.
I have so many, like, I have another game we're gonna play this Christmas. The Christmas tree cutouts, and you have to like, but I'll tell you when you're there. Anyway, so I'm gonna leave them out by the tree so people can read what people wrote on Valentine's Day, because it's so funny.
Wow.
They're like so hilarious. And then I even found one where someone took a, you know, those candy hearts.
Yeah.
They broke it apart and stapled it onto like the heart. Like,
oh God.
Yeah, and they were like, staples through my heart mean this. It was like so funny, like the things people come up with. I'm like, so I had this candy that's all like on there. Anyway, it's really funny, and I was amused laughing at myself yesterday when I was decorating and I found these.
Wow.
So I thought I'd share for the rest. But yeah, I took out massive, massive bags of things and dumped them in the trash. Wow. I was very proud of myself.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, now you have room for more garbage.
Yeah.
For new garbage.
I need to go through clothes. That's my next thing. I have so many clothes that are just...
I know. I think every person has that problem. You know, half of your closet you don't even use anymore.
Yeah, but have you seen my closet?
No, not you. I mean in general.
My closet is the size of a normal person's bedroom.
Really?
You haven't seen my closet?
No. Why would I see your closet?
Because it's like right when you walk in, like I'm the first room.
I don't remember. I rarely remember anything.
It is a wall of closets. It's three huge closets all in one. It goes across this huge wall. And then I have two other closets in the house that are mine.
Wow.
And then my dressers of drawers. And then everything in the garage that I need to get rid of. Yeah. So, I mean, I've slowly been getting rid of stuff. I just don't, like, why do I have these things?
Yeah.
I don't.
Especially when you move and stuff. Then you have to take, you know, haul all this shit with you. And for what? You know, just to let it sit again.
And I've been looking at everything, and I'm like, honestly, I have some really nice pieces of furniture that I would not part with.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's not that much. Like, I think about it, I have like the whole house is my stuff.
Mm.
But I'm like, I don't need any of this.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking at it all like, I went through this whole cleaning craziness yesterday. Like, clean everything, get rid of the olds. You know, blah blah blah. So that was yesterday, and then...
Hold on a second, our guest is calling, so let's take the call first.
I guess someone's more important than me.
Yeah, good morning, you're on the air, go ahead.
Hey, this is Jim Eskeman.
Yes, Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, is it Sam?
Yes, this is Sam, and Brigetta is here as well, and thank you for calling in.
Nice to call in.
Yeah, I see you calling from a local number. Are you here in L.A.?
I am.
Oh, okay.
And I'm in this beautiful San Fernando Valley, Tarzana, the cradle of civilization.
Yeah, well, you're not too far from us. And so, I mean, have you? Is this where you grew up in L.A. or did you move?
Yeah, I did. I grew up in Tarzana.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, so
I lived in New York for a long time, but that was sort of in the middle zone there.
Yeah.
From 83 to 93, and then I've been back in Tarzana. I moved back into my old house.
Oh, okay. Oh, what did you do in New York?
You know, I'm an actor, so I did a lot of theater and improv and commercials, and I got into show business, basically, in New York instead of here.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's just the way it worked out.
Yeah. So did you start acting out here before you moved there? I mean, what was the reason?
Well, you know, I was a kid out here, and I went to school, and then I went to college in Santa Cruz in Northern California, and I did plays there, basically, you know, and sort of began the journey a little bit. But I'm also a visual artist, so I studied painting, and I did out here in L.A. when I was younger. I worked for Hanna-Barbera as an assistant storyboard guy, and then you know, so I've been around animation a lot, both the, you know, various areas of it.
That's
and
cool.
Now I mainly do voices for animation.
Oh, I see. That's pretty cool. Yeah. So, but you've done some traditional acting as well, right?
Oh yes, yes.
Yeah.
Lots of it. I've been in five films with Ron Howard. and lots of other projects.
Well,
yeah,
that's pretty much all his films.
he's probably got 25 films at this point. That's true.
Yeah. Now, I was introducing this. I saw in the information we got from you that your mother is actually Marion Ross from Happy Days.
Of Happy Days. Yeah. She's alive and well, doing very well.
How did that happen? How did you manage that? How did you manage to be born? Yeah, to find such a great mother.
You know, I looked around and everyone else seemed kind of miserable. So I chose her. Turned out to be a good choice. She's a lovely person, and we just saw her. She's in a play in Kansas City area right now. So we went out for Thanksgiving and check that out, and she's fantastic.
That's nice. How old were you when she was on the series?
Well, it was 11 years, so I was anywhere from 13 years old to, 24.
Okay, so you're pretty grown. You were not a little kid, so you pretty much understood.
No, I was a good age to be, because I could, once I was 16 and could drive, I used to go down every Friday and watch them tape at Paramount. And I got to know the guys pretty well. That's where I met Ron Howard, and we had a friendship, and so when I became an actor, I began to, I began to let him know.
Yeah, there you go. So you've done some voices in animation as well. That's pretty cool.
Yes. I've been an actor almost 30 years, so I've done a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
And I've done directing as well, and I've lately gotten into the audiobook world, which is a growing world.
Yeah.
And I did directed a series of audiobooks for Galaxy.com, mm-hmm. Galaxy Audio. And there's a wonderful series called The Golden Age Stories, which were by, they're all stories from the 1930s and 40s by New York Times best-selling author L. Ron Hubbard.
Right.
And these stories are terrific. They're westerns and adventure and mystery and all the popular genres of the pulps.
We just had someone on that did these.
Yeah, it's not a coincidence. It's from the same publicist.
Oh,
but
there
was
you go.
Judy Norton. Yeah.
Yeah, we hit her on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they're wonderful stories. I directed the bulk of them. It's almost, 500 hours of finished audio,
nice.
Tremendous amount of material. But we did it like an old radio show where we'd have the actors around various microphones and they'd play, sometimes three or four different characters and great rip-roaring kind of yarns, the kind of Indiana Jones sort of stuff or Pirates of the Caribbean sort of stuff that, a lot of guys like me got into voiceover to do these sort of characters. Now, we grow up and in this day and age, it rarely happens.
Right. So you see yourself as an impressionist, obviously, as well as an actor.
Yeah, I've had quite a bit of small bits of fame by being an impressionist.
I do Morgan Freeman quite often for The Tonight Show and for other clients. appreciate his beautiful voice. And George Clooney as well. I've been called on to do him. And that's always fun. And I used to do George back when he was president. I used to do George W. Bush a long time ago.
Yeah, we were just talking about his daughter is pregnant.
Oh yeah.
Did you know that, George? Did you know
your daughter's pregnant, George?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I thought she just packed on a few.
You thought she was popping out an elephant.
So can people see you here? Are you performing, doing anything here?
I'm going to start a run of shows again did a year last year at the Acting Center, which is in Hollywood, at Hollywood and Western. And you can find out about it by going to Jim Pressions. I call the show Jim Pressions. If you go to jimpressions.net, you can find my schedule and videos and stuff. I've got several viral videos up there that have been very popular, Shakespeare and celebrity voices and stuff like that. The live show is a lot of fun, and I've done it all over the world, and I'm going to just continue to tour with it. I do about 75 celebrity impressions and tell stories and, my adventures with, people like Robert De Niro, for example, who, I met one time. And also Harvey Keitel, the great actor Harvey Keitel, who very few impressionists do Harvey Keitel, but he's a very significant actor. And that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so this is cool. I mean, it's always like fun to be around people and do impressions and so forth. And this is pretty cool that you've taken out the time and stuff to do this. So, sounds good to me. I mean, you've got a full career there, and it sounds
I'm working all the time. I'm doing commercials, and I was just on, I'm recurring on Parks and Recreation too, NBC comedy with Amy Poehler, and I was just on that again last week, and that's a great show to be with. And another show called Mad, there's a Mad animated show on Cartoon Network that is hilarious, and I'm working on that again today. I've done about 18 of those shows.
Really? Is that related to Mad Magazine?
Yeah, it's definitely carrying on the Mad tradition of the magazine, but in an animated form. It's just wonderful. And they do, you know, movie satires and stuff, so I get to do a lot of celebrity voices, like Tommy Lee Jones. I've done Tommy Lee Jones many times, especially for Mad Magazine and other ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody that has patience to listen to things like that, I like to try to give them something to chew on, you know.
Sounds
and if anyone
good.
Wants to find out about the audiobooks that I directed, that's at goldenagestories.com.
Okay.
Those are terrific. Yeah.
Sounds good. And do you ever perform at the Golden Age Theater there, too?
I do, yeah. Oh. Quite often. I'm there on Hollywood Boulevard doing these wonderful old pulps. And we really bring them to life, you know. We sound effects and costumes, and what we do like an old radio show, which is was so much of the history of Hollywood, was, you know, people, huge audiences would go and they'd watch their favorite actors read, basically, you know, and perform a thrilling story, a suspense story or whatever, an adventure story. And we get some very top actors to come in and do those too, because they just love them. It's the real fundamentals of theater and entertainment.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Low tech but very satisfying.
Sounds good. Okay. Jim Meskimen, it is. And the website again is
jimpressions.net.
Jimpressions.net. A great name.
Oh. And check me out on YouTube, too. I got tons of films.
Okay. Awesome. So there's links to that from your website, I would imagine, too, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes,
okay.
Indeed.
Awesome. Jim, thank you so much for calling in. All
you
the
bet.
Best to
nice
you.
Nice to meet you.
You too.
You
Take
too.
Care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's cool. I like listening to voiceover.
Yeah, I know. If he'd come to the studio, it'd be good because he could we would make him do like a million of them.
I know. Remember when the puppet guy was here? That was so awesome. I was like, it's Snuffleupagus.
Yeah, I know.
I was so excited.
I know.
Snuffleupagus was one of my favorites.
Was it really?
Yeah, so when I realized that was him in studio, I was like, oh my God. Snuffleupagus. Yeah, Sesame Street was my jams back in the day.
Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate with the accusation of the Elmo guy who had to resign, you know, because of it. Did you hear what that was about?
No.
I think we talked about it. The guy that does his voice was accused of sex abuse of a minor and stuff.
Not our guy. A different.
Yeah, definitely. And the guy that does Elmo.
Yeah.
And he was, so he finally resigned.
So
yeah. I know.
I can't do the Elmo voice, but I tried. But I loved Elmo.
I know. My favorite was actually Kermit. You know,
I
love Kermit. He's like, He doesn't give a damn.
I guess. I liked Miss Piggy because she was so annoying. She was so annoying. But I liked her because she would just be like, move out of my way.
Yeah.
I'm her. It was just funny. I used to laugh all the time. Do you remember Fraggle Rock?
Yeah.
I loved Fraggle Rock.
Right.
That was one of my favorites.
But I liked Ernie and Bert as well. You know, I mean, that was, remember Ernie and Bert?
Okay, you're going to think I'm so weird. What? Well, whatever. You always think I'm weird. So, okay. I remember watching Bert and Ernie. And when I was younger, I was scared of my room.
Uh-huh.
Because I was, like, scared of, like, spirits and ghosts that were, like, in my room sometimes. Mm. And I was watching this, I'll never forget it, but I was watching Bert and Ernie, and then they had this thing where, I don't remember what it was called, and they told you to, like, say something, and because there were, like, ghosts in their room, and then the spirits or the bad things in your room would go away.
Uh-huh.
So then I don't remember what it was, but I listened to, like, whatever, and it's probably, like, the intention of doing it, like, you know what I mean? Obviously
right.
Not the words, but, like, so I used to do it in my room whenever I would get scared, and I'd be like, you can't come in my room now, ha, ha, ha.
Wow.
And it was...
So it helped.
But I got it from Bert and Ernie.
The show helps, yeah.
I know. I was probably like, I don't know, 4, maybe.
Yeah.
But I'll never, I kind of remember it, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah, I know. It's a brilliant
stupid.
Show, you know. I mean, they have the Count, you know. That,
oh, my God.
Talks
I
like
loved,
Dracula.
See, I loved vampires since I was really young. So I loved, Count, whatever his name. What was it? The Count, yeah.
Yeah, the Count.
I loved him.
I don't know how they came up with all these things, but it's brilliant.
They were high.
Yeah. They must
They were on shrooms. It was the 70s when they were created. Maybe 60s. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they were definitely high.
They were. They were.
Yeah.
So did you hear about the shooting in Oregon yesterday?
No,
Portland?
I did not.
You didn't hear anything, huh?
I don't watch the news because it's depressing.
Yeah, there was a shooting at the mall in outside Portland, and I guess two people died, and then the gunman turned the gun on himself. Now
in a mall?
In the mall.
Were they mad that they didn't? Imagine? They were waiting in a long line for the stupid iPhone.
No, they didn't say. They didn't. They don't have a motive now. But you know what? It's not freaking funny, man. You walk in there, you got your baby with you, and whatever, your kids, and they're saying at least 20 shots were fired. You know, I mean, that is like...
Where did they get the gun?
Kids were crying. Parents were crying. That's the thing about the guns, you know? And
okay, I want to say something.
I think we need to discuss that.
Let's discuss this for a second, because I do want to say something, actually, about this. And I was going to bring it up a few weeks ago, and then I decided, I'll wait until there's time. So... This is may even sound more retardedly crazy, but okay. So back when Hitler was in reign, he told everyone, you know, register guns, and then decided to go around and take, because you registered your gun, he knew who had the guns. Mm. So he went around and took everybody's guns away. Gun control, right? Mm. Took them all away, so everybody that had registered guns, who pretty much when you register your gun, you're usually... normal. Mm-hmm. It's the ones who don't register their guns, right, that get them off the streets, or the ones that are going crazy and shooting up and whatever. So anyway, took all of those people's guns away, right?
Right.
And then what did he do? Go around and assassinate people and then attack, right? So basically, I don't know if you know what's going on right now. Obama, yeah. And I don't know if you know like what they've been saying. Obama, they're trying to compare him to Hitler and all these things. Do you know?
Really?
That he is going. Yeah.
Who?
People are calling him. I mean, they call. Of course, it's like. Whatever, there's groups and stuff. I wanted to read this email, and I don't have it with me because I didn't bring my computer, and I can't find where my iPad is right now. But I wanted to read this email out loud, and I'll read it next week or tomorrow if I can find it. And it is about how Obama's trying to do the same thing, actually. He's trying to go around and ban guns from every home in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And then even if it won't get passed through the Senate, you know how the same thing with the healthcare thing, how he overrode it anyway?
Right.
He's going to override it anyway. Mm-hmm. So that all of our guns will be taken away, and then what's going to happen?
Just the criminals will have guns.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, another whole weird... I'm throwing this out there because I'm on this weird, like, thought pattern right now.
Right.
When am I not? What if... This gets so conspiracy theory, but what if people that were going out on these murder sprees were told by the government, go out and cause mass panic, mm-hmm. go out and shoot people, and they go out and they do it just so people are like, gun control, gun control, gun control, okay? Mm-hmm. So that way it gives like Obama or like whoever's, and I'm not saying him, but whoever's in control at that time, and now it's Obama, so... to go in and be like, okay, gun control. All guns are now banned. There are now no guns allowed in the U.S. whatsoever. And everyone's happy because they're getting shot up in malls and whatnot. Yet, those people that are getting shot up in malls are really through the government. The government's telling them to go and do it. Do you see what I mean? I know that sounds crazy, but if you were to read this email, and this part, that part I just made up in my head. I was just thinking, you know. But if you were to read this email about how... the similarities between Obama and Hitler are, it's uncanny. It's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. No, I'm not kidding. And it's actually really scary.
Yeah.
So I did want to bring that up and talk about it. Damn it. I wish I could find that email.
Well, that's okay. I mean, you'll bring it up later. But the thing is that, you know, I see what you're saying about allowing guns and everything. But at the same time, you get people shooting up all the time, you know. I mean, can you imagine if these people at the mall, let's say, were carrying guns too? You'd start having like a Wild West there in the mall.
But you're allowed to carry guns.
No, I know. But that's what I'm saying, though.
But here's my point. The people that are allowed to carry guns aren't the ones going out to the mall shooting people up.
Right.
The people that aren't allowed to have guns, I guarantee this person that went and shot everybody up, he probably didn't have a registered gun. He probably took it from his parents or a friend or got it off the street or something. I guarantee he's not a registered NRA, you know, gun. I guarantee it.
So you're saying the average citizen just wants it for protection?
Exactly. To protect themselves when someone comes into their home or in a great situation. You know, all these people like, okay, the murders you have in the streets, in the ghetto, you think they're registered? Come on. Really?
Well, of course not. Of course not.
The guy that went and shot everybody up in the movie theater, was he registered? No. Mm. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, these people that are going on these crazy sprees aren't registered gun users. Right. These people are getting guns from everywhere else. If you take all the guns away from everyone who is a registered user who has a right to use a gun,
right.
that's what's going to happen. We can't protect ourselves now. Let's go, knife somebody.
Yeah. But how many people actually protect themselves with the guns? I mean,
many.
It's rare.
Just like that whole case in, and I will say, I don't give a shit how many people will come in and write and hate letters to me or not. I don't really care. I'm going on a rant right now. So, Florida.
The Trayvon Martin thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what? Good. I'm glad. I hate to say it, but I know there was more to it than what the media is saying. And I'll tell you what. If you come after me like you're going to shoot me and I have a gun, you're getting shot.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to shoot you in the chest. Mm. I'm going to shoot you in the foot or the knee,
right.
more than likely, to make you go down and make you cry and
that's
cringe.
That's if you're, like, prepared and still clear, you know,
but
in your mind.
Right. But the thing is, and if you're older and you're just shooting, you're going to go, like, they teach you, go for the center, you know, go
right.
for the kill. I wouldn't do that because, well, A, I shoot guns, mm-hmm. and I would hit you just to injure you. Now, if you are grabbing me and we're wrestling for a gun, wherever the hell I'm going to shoot you is where you're going to get shot. I don't really care where the gun goes. You're just getting shot, you know? But I'm saying, like, I was all about, like, oh, good. You know, the fact that he had a gun, everyone was going crazy over it. Florida, you have a right to bear arms. You have a right to shoot. Like, you know, I honestly love Florida's rules.
Yeah.
I really do.
Stand your ground. Yeah.
Stand your freaking ground. Hell yeah. And you know what? If that was like that in many states, I guarantee there'd be less robberies because people would think twice that everyone else might be armed as well.
Yeah, but I don't know if these people really think twice, you know, when they attack. So
maybe
I don't think it's people that really make a lot of sense, you know. All I know is that guns are made for one purpose only, and that is to kill people. And, you know,
So what about your kitchen knife? I mean, it's the same shit.
No, it was not. The kitchen knife was not designed to kill
a
person.
But I'm just saying.
You can use it to kill a person.
Okay, but I'm just saying. If you took away all the guns, right?
Right.
People are going to start with mace, or they're going to start with, which, that's fine. I have mace. You know how much trouble I got in for macing people when I was self-defense? This is what I'm talking about, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got in a lot of trouble. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to go into the details of it. But I got in trouble for macing people when I was being attacked.
Right.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, like, that, this is, so, okay, if all the guns are gone away, the next thing you know, they're going to start banning mace or whatever. And then you have knives. You can't really ban knives, right?
Right.
But what do you think's going to happen then? It's going to go back to the olden days if we're just knife people left and right.
I'm going to get shivved. Yeah. You can't argue with the fact that the criminals are going to have the guns.
So I'll start carrying my sword. And by the way, I do have swords in my house. And I've always said that if someone were to come in my house, I will sword them through the stomach in a heartbeat.
Impale them.
Yes, I will. But I'm just, my whole thing is, you have a right. This is what makes me mad. What makes me mad is some government coming in and saying, I can't have this and I can't do. Who the hell are you to come in? Okay, I get the whole gun thing because it's like affecting other people and you know, and all that. But just, I don't like massive government telling me what to do. It irritates the hell out of me. And if I need to protect my house or my family or my people, then I'm going to do so.
Right.
And maybe, okay, if you take all the guns away, it's going to be knives. It's going to be, there's always going to be something is what I'm saying. That's my point.
Yeah,
bow and arrow.
But knives are not the same. You can't go and shoot people, you know, like 20 people at a time.
Honestly, I think that if more people were armed, then, no, I'm not saying everyone go buy a gun. I'm arguing. I'm just arguing just right now.
Right.
For the sakes, just to give all sides, okay?
Right.
So I'm not saying go out there and buy guns and everyone have a gun. But I will let you know that if I know that most people have guns and I'm some criminal, I am going to think twice and more creatively how I'm going to rob you or do something to you. Or I'm not going to rape you because you know what? You might have a gun. More than likely you do. And I'm going to get shot. So I think there would be less crime in so many ways because people would realize, because not in the beginning. In the beginning, they're going to still think, oh, whatever. But once it starts like, oh, everyone's got a gun and people are getting shot up, I think crime rate will actually go down. I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you might have like side effects and shit. People just shooting anybody, you know, and then everybody's like, yeah, I was defending myself.
Not if you were, and I'm not saying just do it now and give everyone mass guns. I'm saying like, if you had a society where you were raised and like back in the olden days, if you were raised and trained and appreciate the gun and know how to use it, and as a little boy, what did they do back in the Western days?
Mm-hmm.
You get your son's 5 years old, here's a gun, son. You know what I mean? And I took him out like shooting, you know, and it was shooting to live to eat, but they knew how to shoot, you know? So it's like you respect it. hit more and you don't shoot and go off on massive killings because they didn't do that back then, right. Unless you were attacked.
Right.
Unless you were like, and there were many, of course, like we watch the Westerns where it's all gangs and people shooting them up, but that's not right. How it was.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's my point. That's what I'm just pulling this in my face. But that's my point. That's what I'm saying. Like if you knew that everyone had guns and everyone respected it, do you think people would actually go out massive shooting for the hell of it?
That's
not if
true.
You were
That's true.
No.
But then people would just be carrying guns everywhere they go, you know?
It would
look like fucking cowboys.
It would look like a ridiculous exactly. Yeah. But
because, you know, to keep the gun at home, it doesn't do you any good.
But,
so you got to take it with you.
But my point also is for you to go in and take away all the guns for those people that do respect guns and that are registered legally, then it's still the same people that are going around shooting everyone up, except this time we're not protected.
Right. No, but, I mean, is their aim really to take away all guns from everybody?
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Are you sure about that?
I am absolutely positive.
That's what gun control means?
This is what Obama's plan was. Yes, this is why this is such a big deal. Like, I was so upset about it because Hitler did the same damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now Obama's, it's like history repeating itself.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't heard about it, to be honest with you, but.
Oh,
you know,
well, I'll read you this email.
Yeah.
I'll forward it. I was livid when I read it. And I was like fuming. And I think we had like two guests one day and I wanted so bad to bring it up. But I was like, no, it's not the time. Because it was like I think we had like a healer on and I'm like, I want to talk about guns. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'll wait for another show to go on my rant about it. But it really just really irritates me.
Yeah. It's probably not a bad idea to at least learn to shoot, you know?
I think everyone should.
Yeah.
I think, you know, that. And I'm not saying you as like a 4 or 5 year old should have your son shooting or whatever, you know, your child shooting at that age. No. But, you know, I think always revert like bow and arrows, like reverting back to those days. You never know when you may need to do that. Like, I mean, I learned, my father taught me when I was like 8 or 9 or something, you know, how to shoot a bow and arrow, but it was for hunting purposes, but it was all like respect the animal. You know, this is the proper way to do it. This is the etiquette of shooting. And, you know, I shot guns when I was young too. Like I grew up kind of giving this a redneck way to do it, but that's kind of like what I grew up doing, you know? And, I, from that, you know, I respect guns and I respect it because I was taught that way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, if your child's like, whenever you think your child's ready, 10, 12, whatever, then, and if they're like into the sport of doing it, not the sport to just hunt to kill, not to do that. I mean, respecting that, like the Native Americans did. You go and you hunt and you use the entire animal in its entirety.
Mm.
And like, that's what Ted Nugent teaches, who, by the way, is on the board for the NRA or I think he was president or whatever for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the same thing. When I went on the Ted Nugent show, it was all about respect of the animal and not just being some trophy hunter. You know, this person collecting, you know, how many points did you get on your deer? Which people do.
Right.
It's not about that. It's about once you make a kill, eating, because we didn't eat. And then once I made that kill, once I killed that chicken, I ate every part of it. Not only that, but I found eggs inside the chicken because I was being disgusting on purpose because it was a TV show and I was trying to psych everyone out because I wanted to win. And I was pulling guts out. Like, honestly, it was for the shock factor, I will admit. It wasn't like I was trying to find anything. I was just trying to be gross.
Uh-huh.
And it succeeded because people were crying. I made guys cry.
Really?
Yeah. And I was winning, and that's all that mattered to me at that time. But I dug up inside, and I found 2 eggs inside of the chicken. Guess what? I had me an omelet. But my point is, if I wasn't digging around inside the chicken, I wouldn't have found the eggs. If I wasn't using every part of that animal, I wouldn't have found the eggs to make an omelet. Where this girl who was a vegetarian sitting next to me in the same game, which didn't make any sense, she wasn't going to eat. But I found eggs in my chicken and I said, you're not going to eat the chicken, but you'll eat the egg. That's fine. I'll give you my egg and I'll make you an omelet.
Right.
And I did. And it became a huge thing, like a huge ordeal, like on the show. Like, first of all, like the vegetarian, and now she's eating eggs that come from a chicken. Like, you know, that was a whole big spiel.
Yeah.
And the second was, you know, I was trying to psych everyone out, but yet then I found the eggs and I gave them to her. So this huge like ordeal, everyone blew up, whatever. But I'm just saying, because I was respecting the entire animal in its entirety. Like a deer, you would go and like you would, you know, use every piece of meat of the deer you can. The pieces that aren't that good, turn them into jerky. Totally fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can use every part of the animal. it may take you a year to eat the whole damn animal, but you freeze it. And that's what we do. That's how I grew up. We had a freezer just for hunting stuff. Like, we'd freeze the meat, and a year later, it's still good. Then you use the jerky. And then, like, okay, I made a table out of the legs. Yes, I did.
You did?
I said, yes, I did.
Out of an animal's legs?
Yeah. Wow. And then with the skins, you know, you can make, like, fur things. We did it during the show. But it was, like, teaching you to use all parts of the animal, like the Native Americans did back then. Right. I'm not saying go around and make deer skins. And, like, go make tables out of it. But I did. I used every part of the animal.
Wow.
If you're going to kill it, use every piece of meat because, you know, you killed it. Don't just eat the best part, or don't just go eat venison. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Respect the whole thing.
Yeah. It amazes me you were in a game like this. I mean, can we watch it anywhere? I mean, where is
There's
it?
There's pieces on YouTube still. Really? Yeah, it was on OLN, which is
What's
now...
What's it called?
Wanted Ted or Alive.
Oh, okay.
It was Ted Nugent's... it was like Survivor, but Ted Nugent style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. I need to check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. There's some clips on YouTube, but I think it's on... I think it might still air OLN, which is now Versus.
Mm.
So it might... I heard that it was pieces were airing on Versus still, but anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Sounds good to me. But, you know, I mean, yeah, all these killings, man, I just... I don't know how it would have helped if somebody else had guns there, you know?
I would have shot
Because obviously you have security guards there.
They don't have guns.
They don't?
Mall security does not carry guns. No. They don't carry guns.
Yeah.
They're licensed to carry mace.
Yeah, because it's dangerous there.
And they've got
cuffs. There's too many civilians.
But they don't carry guns. You want to know why I know? Because I worked mall security.
Yeah.
Once.
Okay, so it makes sense, though. I mean, they don't want to... you know, I mean, there's too many people at the mall. You don't want people using guns and shit. You know?
No, but I will say that if I had, for example, if Art, our good friend Art, if he was in the mall because he carries a gun and he saw this going on, and if same thing, if I had a gun that I carried and I saw this going on, you're damn right I would shoot I would go in shooting.
Mm.
But I would go in and I would wait. I would hide like a sniper and wait for that perfect shot and kill the motherfucker.
Right. Yeah.
I would. And I think most people that would, I would think most people that carry a gun or that Art would do it. You know, like if I see someone going around and killing humanity just to kill humanity for no, like no crazy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't self-defense and you're just going on an attack. You bet you're damn right that I'm going in and I'm going to figure a way how to stop that person, especially if I'm there.
Yeah.
Like I've always thought, like if anything were to happen on a plane and you're on my plane, you fuck with the wrong plane. Because I will stab your eyeballs out. You know what I mean? Like,
I guess I do.
There's no way that, I feel sorry. And I've always said, I feel sorry for anyone who ever tried to kidnap me because your life would be a complete misery. But I've been held down before. And I've been in a situation where I was almost raped by 7 guys.
Wow. Wow.
And I got out of it. I was smart. Literally, I had high heels on, and you think quick. Like, in the situations, you're like, you know, some people don't think, and they just submit. No, I was like, think quick. How am I going to get out? Analyze everything. And I had heels on. I took my heel off. Somehow, like, after I was held down, I was wiggling around, got my heel off, and took the heel and stabbed a guy in the face with my heel.
Wow.
He went back, and then I took off running and just ran. And, like, everyone else was like, holy shit, that just happened.
Whoa.
And, you know, I don't like to sit here and tell everyone that I did. But I did it, self-defense.
Yeah.
I think most women definitely should take self-defense classes.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge ordeal because it teaches you to think quick and always be on your feet. I will say that that's something my father did teach me when I was younger, is when I was walking, he always said, walk fast. The faster you walk, if you watch like Oprah and the 2020 and those shows on, you know, people that attack you, that are going to rob you or anything, what they look for. Because there's that guy, I forget, he was a massive criminal, and then he turned around for the good.
Mm.
And then, do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
I forget his name. He was all over the place. And he now teaches people how to not get robbed, how to not get raped, how to not be singled out of the crowd. And it's basically, if you walk faster, they don't tend to look at you. My dad also would say, look in the shadows when you're in a place. Always look in the mirrors behind you. Look in the mirrors of the windows of stores that you walk by. Don't look at the ground.
Right.
If you look at the ground, then they know you're not paying attention to your surroundings of what's going on.
Yeah.
You give people eye contact, then
that's
they won't.
It, huh?
Yeah. So that's like, there's so many different ways about it. And, you know, when I was going through my training for the police and everything, I wound up picking up these things and learning more about it. And I really, really truly believe that women should, especially when they're younger, like teenagers and stuff, should really take these courses because it really helped me immensely.
Wow.
Because if I were in that situation and, you know, and I didn't know these things, I don't know what I would have done.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but you do, if you have high heels, that's a great weapon.
I just slid them off, got my hand around it, and stabbed a guy right in the eye. Now, most women would not think that. They would think, and because I was trained, like, to be, like, get out of the situation. Like, I'm always analyzing, like, everything is, like, my brain thinks so many crazy things at once. But it's like, if I were to get in this situation, I always can think of a way out instantly. Mm. So, like, my mind's a million miles ahead. But I feel like if you go through these training courses to how to defend yourself, your brain starts thinking like that.
Right.
You kind of train your brain to think that way. So otherwise, we're women who don't, and they get in a situation, they start thinking, woe is me, I'm never going to see anyone again, and they start kind of cowering and giving in. Mm, whereas...
That's true.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you're surrounded by seven guys, man, that's pretty discouraging.
I had to think quick.
You know?
I wasn't thinking about, oh my God, it's seven guys that are around me, and then I'm going, this is going to happen, this is going to... No, I wasn't thinking that. I was thinking, I'm getting out of the situation. I'm getting out. How am I getting out? Where's my way out? Like, it's like a puzzle piece.
Right.
And it was like a map all of a sudden that, like, unfolded, and it was like, okay, I'm going to do this, 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 and I mapped it all out and just did it quickly without thinking and ran and was praying that... And actually, no, I'm sorry. This happened twice to me. This was one time, and another time I was young. I was so stupid. I think I was 16, and we'd stole... My girlfriend's, actually it was Linda Tripp.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yeah. So her daughter was one of my best friends, Allison, and we were 15 and we stole Linda's car. we wanted to they decided they were going to smoke cigarettes and we wanted to go to the gas station and drive up in a car and like be cool and with our fake IDs and buy cigarettes. So, and I didn't smoke, but they did. So, but I was going along with it. And we were taking turns driving the car, the van, this piece of shit van. And I got mad because they wouldn't let me drive. And so what happened was my stubborn ass decided, and this is like, I don't know, 2, 3 a.m. And it's not, they did not live in the greatest of areas. And I got out of the car. I was like, you're not driving me. I don't like the way you're driving. And if you're not letting me drive, then I'm not in the car. And they tried to talk me back into it. And I said, no. And I got out of the car and I walked. I'll walk home. They left me.
Really?
So I walked.
Yep. Wow.
And it was through this area, and there was a gang of guys. I don't even know how many. Didn't have time to think or react. And they were talking to me, whatever, and I was just walking. And I was probably, like, in short shorts. And, you know, we were just kids, you know, like, short shorts and a T-shirt. But, like, girl in the middle of, like, not a good area in the middle of the night? No. So they were drunk. They were, like, tossing around 40s and whatnot and saw me, and they were like, get her. And I felt like a guy grabbed me, and then I wiggled my way out and took off running, kept running. They chased me for like a long time. And I wound up tripping, falling, and getting all bloody and gross. But as I tripped and fell, it was behind a bush, and I rolled under a car. I don't know what made me decide to do it, but I laid there, and I was like, please don't find me, please don't. And they did. They all ran past me.
Right.
And I waited under there for about an hour, and they were still searching for me.
Wow.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
I don't know what they were on. And here's another weird thing. So after I got out of the car, I ran up to a front door, and they had – because I noticed their front door had a screen, and the screen was like a couple feet tall. So I climbed between the screen door and their main door and knocked on the door like as hard and loud as I could, but crouching down so I couldn't be seen under the screen part. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Like the frame of the door. I hid under the frame.
Right.
And they opened the door and they were like, oh my God, what's going on? I was all bloody and gross. I'm like, these guys are chasing me. Please let me in. And then actually the guys wound up running by when this happened.
Uh-huh.
They pulled me in the house, slammed the door shut, and called 911.
Wow.
So, I mean, for me, it was like, think quick. Most girls wouldn't think, okay, look at the frame of the door. I can probably crouch and hide under that in between two doors and knock on. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
These are all things that are going through my head. And maybe it was because I took defensive training, or maybe
I'm
it was
sure, yeah.
My dad. I think it was my dad working with me. So I really think it's important to, like, not to freak your kids out, but like at all. But if you live in an area, you know, that's when they're older, to kind of like teach them.
Yeah.
You know, like, hey, if this ever to happen.
That's true. You should. You know.
Here's how to get out.
Too dangerous.
Make
out
it fun.
There,
don't make it like. Don't instill the fear of God in them. But like, you know what I mean? Like, there's a way to do it.
No, that's true. That's true. And I think you've got You've learned to have courage in that way, and you're feisty, and you won't let people...
Maybe that's why I'm feisty.
Yeah, maybe that's why. You know, who knows? But it's a good thing. It protects you, you know, and that's a good thing.
Anyway, I don't know where this... I'm amped up today. I am amped up.
Good.
Thank you, Starbucks.
All right, Brigitta. Thanks so much. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll have a great show tomorrow, and we'll see you then.
Bye.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Brigitta, which airs every Monday through Friday from 10 to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sam in the Morning with Brigitta is an LA Talk Radio production where we say what we want.